praying for each other. I'm going to start with a wee word of prayer. Rod, if you would do the honours for us, then we'll sing a song. Thank you.
Father, thank you for this day, Lord, and thank you for the weather, and thank you for giving us a wherewithal, the health and the strength, Lord, to come out to your house today, Lord. We will for an over, Lord, bless us in every head, just cover each and every house, all those represent, Lord. Bless us and keep us, Lord. Also remember after Brad, whether we be sick or well, or unwell, Lord, or can't make it out, Lord. Remember, call the Lord, be from keep safe, bring him out to him. Thank you for him getting a job, Lord. Deliver from any trouble, Lord, and bring him closer walk with thee. Also, save Stephen, Carl, and John, Lord, save their souls, Lord, and bring them out to church as well, Lord. Be from Christy and Taylor, Lord, bless them, Lord, and keep them safe and well, Lord, and send them to a Bible believing church, Lord, where the full counsel of the word is divided, Lord, honestly and truthfully, Lord, and according to thy will, Lord. Professor as well, healer, Lord. Keep her safe and minister unto you as well, Lord. With Stephen Pat, Lord. With Stephen, he's in time, Lord. Take away any pain, take away any discomfort, Lord. And heal him, Lord. And take away this trouble, Lord. Give respite to Pat as well, Lord. And help her and Stephen with diabetes as well, Lord. With us this day, Lord. Be one of us today, Lord. And help Mark, direct Mark in the word of the Lord to the gospel, Lord, that we might show it, improve our lives, Lord, and improve our walk with thee, Lord. For thy honour and for thy glory, Lord, give us the gifts for Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Yeah, thanks, Will. There we go. At number 55 we're beginning with this morning. If you have a favourite hymn, one that you've always liked, speak up and we'll sing those this morning. Hymn number 55, "When the Road Is Called Up Yonder."
The trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the time shall be no more, and the morning brings eternal bright and fair. When the saved lovers shall gather over on the other shore, and the road is gone, and yonder I'll be there. When the road is gone, and yonder, when the road
Mrs. Bradfield, go on ahead.
361.
361. Did you think to pray? Amen. 361. We'll remain seated for this one.
Did you think to
Chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, the first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in the godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, and lie not, teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh a woman professing godliness with good works. Let the woman marry in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to observe authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with severity.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Norman. I think possibly even a bit of Steve as well there, but amen. Just want to remind you to make sure you lift one of the wee blue prayer lists. There is an extra prayer request that is not on the prayer list, but it's for the Huddleston family. Excuse me. Husband Brian passed away with, was it a brain tumour?
Yes, it was. Jerry Huddleston.
Okay. Please do pray for the Huddleston family at this time, if you would. A lot of other stuff going on in the world too. Do be much in prayer. I don't know all of your private prayer requests. That's why they're quiet, private. The Lord knows what they are. But I take it, if you have a quick look there at all the names in the private prayer requests, does everybody here still have a private prayer request? That's Norma. Well, yeah. Charlotte too.
And William Hampton as well.
William as well. Mark and Monica. And we'll check with Link and Pat and Steve as the week goes on. Just want to say too that Pat and Steve pass on the regards, and they said to say hello to everybody. I told them they were all being prayed for. They were being prayed for. So please do keep praying for them, if you would. Ling is in London. She'll be back Tuesday, I think it is. So please do pray for her as she travels. I think Frank's coming back with her, isn't he? So pray for Frank. Lord willing, we'll get a chance to see him and to catch up with him before too long. I think that's about that. Is there anything else we need to be thinking on? Work in the church is coming up next week. Please do pray about that as well. We appreciate all of your prayers. Appreciate all of the help that has come, the food, the finances, all of that. Very much appreciated. Do keep praying. Pray for everybody that has to work with lost folks, for wisdom. Just keep reading your Bible. Just keep praying. Lord will put all the pieces together and give you the words to speak just exactly when you need them. Amen. I think that's about that. All right. Let's have a word of prayer and let's sing another song. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day and for life and health and strength. The lovely weather outside, Lord, I pray that it would extend into the coming week. We pray, Lord, for all those that are grieving the loss of loved ones right now. I pray you please, Father, that you would take and use this as a time to speak to them about their eternity. I pray for family members that don't yet know you as Savior, Lord, that you would reason with them and convict them, even in the still small hours of the night. For those that have slipped or slid, for those that are downcast, Lord, I pray your good hand upon them, or even under an arm, Lord, and help them back to their feet. Lord, we just love you and praise you. We know there is a lot of stuff going on in the world. In our little part of it, there's the work that's to be done here, but there's things going on in Derry as well that only you know about. I pray you, Father, please, would you stop those that are just have their minds fixed on mischief and trouble. Would you stop them in their tracks, Lord, and give them pause for thought? Would you bless those that are seeking you, Lord, and that are obeying you? And, Father, we know that you love us so much that you give us your only begotten Son, and I'm thankful for. I pray for your people, the Jews. I pray, Lord, that you would preserve them and bless them and keep them in the face of everything that's coming their way. Please do, Lord. Most importantly, Lord, please save souls. We love you and praise you. Thank you for loving us. And we ask this and our private prayer request in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. Amen. Right. Folks, favourite? Anybody got one that they'd like to share? We'll all sing.
Number two. Exactly.
That'll do. Number two in the black book, this blessed old book. That is a good one. It's a well of pure water, when thirsty and dry, with men hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and no pain of change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's straight from beginning to end. It's a solid where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it costs just to hold in my hand, it reminds me I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who go to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. Well, its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I find to be true: if you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. Space for one more, Norman, or Sharp, if you have one that really speaks to you or you'd like to share with us this morning. If you don't, it's not a black mark against your name or anything. I can certainly lay my hands on a couple here that we can sing.
305.
Yield not to temptation. That's a good one. Let's stand as we sing 305. Yield not to temptation.
By manfully onward,
exchange your hymn books for your Bibles, or your Bibles for your hymn books, that's probably a better way of working, and turn to the book of Matthew this morning. Book of Matthew. Maybe this is the appropriate time of year for a... Nope, this is the Easter coming up, not the birth of Jesus, that's a Christmassy theme. But we're in Matthew chapter 2, and I'd like to spend a few minutes this morning thinking on the lives and the times of the wise men. Matthew chapter 2, and the title for the message is Wise Men, or should I say Wise People, because women can be wise too. Contrary to what a lot of people think, women can be wise too. And I know my wife was about 14 and a bit years ago. Smartest decision she ever made. After getting saved. Anyway, I want to read the first dozen verses of this portion of God's Word. The Word of God says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. Now when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people. shall rule my people Israel. There you go. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Excuse me. And you know what? We're going to read another few verses. "When they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed unto Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son." Amen. Amen. Speaking on the wise men, that is their account in the Word of God. And I want to consider a few things about the wise men and how it would be useful to us to be like them. Amen. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, again for this time in your presence. Please, Lord, I pray, abundantly bless us this morning as we spend this time around your word. Please help us, cleanse us, refresh us, keep us, strengthen us, Lord. Provide our, not just our daily bread, Lord, but something for our thoughts and our minds to chew over in the days and weeks and months ahead. Please put all the pieces of all the sermons and Bible readings that we have made and done and been exposed to, please put all the pieces together in our heads and our hearts, Lord, and fill in the missing gaps and the picture that we have in our mind of you and our knowledge of the scriptures. Tie them all together, please, Lord, and make us the people that you need for us to be. I pray you for strength. I pray you, Lord, for good and broken up hearts this morning, And I pray most importantly for your will to be done. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen. All right. This is, goodness, I would say this is probably as popular a piece of scripture and read at least and heard at least once every year by just about everybody in the Western world and many others besides, especially whenever it comes to Christmas time. Because traditionally that's when most attention is paid to Matthew 2 and the early portions of Luke as well. So where it tells you about the shepherds and the angels singing and one thing and another. But the Word of God tells us that it's not a baby Jesus now that these wise men have come to see. This is a young child Jesus. And the Word of God, if we were to read on through the Word of God here, just this portion of God's Word, we see that we reckon that the Lord was about 2 years old. Because in verse number 16, whenever Herod was speaking to the wise men and asking them all these questions, diligently, he said, he knew the Lord was about 2 years old, this king of the Jews. This, as far as he was concerned, not someone that he was going to come and worship, but a pretender to the throne that he was going to wipe out. And as a result of that, and once he found out that the wise men had gone a different way, although their lives might have been forfeit too, he sent out the soldiers to kill all the little children of 2 years old and under. He was a bad man. Very bad man. Thought he was untouchable. And I'm not sure if it was this one or one of the other Herods. So wicked. And so set on having power and never losing it, that he actually killed his own children so that they would never be able to inherit the kingdom. He thought he would hold on to it forever. I believe there was actually one of the Herods that stood up and made an oration, the Word of God says, and they said, it's the voice of God, or it's the voice of an angel, and the Word of God records that worms ate him up, just like that, and that he died. That's the sort of guy you're dealing with here. And back in the day, there was no European Court of Human Rights. No one was going to come and fight your cause if the king took umbrage at you. Your life was forfeit. And even on a whim, your life could be forfeit, if you recall to mind. We're thinking on Herod for a while and the people that these wise men had to deal with. When John the Baptist got locked up, because John the Baptist would preach and he would show the king up for what he was, an adulterer and a fornicator. And he said to Herod, it's not right that you should be married to your brother's wife. That's just not right. And he got himself locked up for keeping speaking out against the authorities of the day. And on a whim, when Herod, a lecherous old devil, was watching his stepdaughter dance, he promised to give her anything, even up to half his kingdom. And of course, she was prepared beforehand and said, if that old goat asks you what it is that you want for dancing, you make sure and ask for the head of John the Baptist. And as soon as Herod said those words, what would you like? Your dancing pleases me so much, I would like to give you a reward. She said, give me the head of John the Baptist on a charger. And just like that, his life was forfeit. There was no judges coming from, or solicitors coming from anywhere else. Your life was done. This is the sort of guy you're dealing with. And he killed all the children, and no one would point the finger at him, except God, and say, you can't do that. Because he did it. We know that he was a bad guy. And rightly so, and in all honesty, God's people tend not to be bad people. But these wise men came a couple of years after the shepherds. And the shepherds probably went out and told folks about the great things that they had seen. But who's going to believe a bunch of shepherds? Pretty much low, very low on the totem pole. But when this caravan, it wasn't three blokes and three camels that turned up. Can you imagine carrying gold and frankincense, two of the most expensive items of the day? Can you imagine three guys carrying a pile of that stuff through the countryside and not being attacked by bands of robbers or highwaymen? This was enough people coming into Bethlehem, to Judea, to cause a problem. It annoyed everybody. It concerned everybody. Although I have a funny notion that it concerned everybody because they thought Herod would go off the rails. Anyway, they land carrying the gold and frankincense and myrrh and probably having a retinue of armed bodyguards. And people sat up and took notice. Now, I want to impress upon you these few things. We are spending time from here on in on the wise men. The first thing is they must have been students of the Word of God to even be there. They must have known a bit about the Scriptures. They must have been watching the clock, so to speak, or at least following the date. Because they came within the lifetime of the Messiah. And this could have been any time in the history of man, but they came in the lifetime of the Messiah. They were following the star, it says, in the east. But even forby that, they would have known that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. That the Messiah was going to be born of a virgin. And that the Messiah would be born sometime before the 483 years were up that were mentioned in Daniel. Now, if you're ever looking through Daniel, I think it's around Daniel 11. An angel came to Daniel one night and said, Messiah is going to ride into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. It says in Jeremiah, I'm an ass, the foal of an ass. He's going to be hailed as the king in 483 years. 483 years after the commandment is given to rebuild Jerusalem. Now at the time Daniel gave that command, he was in what used to be Babylon, but now belonged to the Medes and the Persians. And Jerusalem was razed to the ground. It was wrecked. It was destroyed. He was a captive in a foreign land and an old man at this point. And God told him, 483 years from the going forth of the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem, Messiah will ride into Jerusalem. He will enter Jerusalem and he will be cut off, not for himself. In other words, he will give his life for our sins. So the wise men thought 483 years from the days of Nehemiah in the court of Artaxerxes, because that's when the command was given, Jesus will ride in. So they were thinking, okay, we'll work back 483 years. When will we go? Now, I don't know all the ins and outs of their reckoning. They missed the birth of the Lord Jesus by 2 years. Maybe they worked back 30 years and met him as a 2-year-old, maybe even a 3-year-old. But they were there. They were students of the Bible. And you know what the amazing thing about it is? We don't have to be wise men, rich wise men, that live in castles with all of these scribes and things at our fingertips and at our command. We can look it up in the Bible. We can type it into Google and we can find out those things, or we can just turn up in church and listen to those things. Read it for ourselves. Go before the throne of God and just say, God, I don't understand this. Would you please help me? And guess what? The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And he will give you liberally. He will put all the pieces together in your head. So the wise men were students of the Word of God. And they arrived in good time. They got to meet him. And I am sure they didn't just say, well, it's good to see you, Lord. Here's our Mary and Joseph. Wonderful. Here's the gold. Here's the frankincense. Here's the myrrh. We're off. I can guarantee you it wasn't like that at all. But whenever they arrived, they thought everybody else would be looking too. Surely, people will want to meet the Messiah. But that wasn't the case. They go and they inquire diligently, Herod inquires diligently of them. And you know, sometimes Christians can be too honest. Do you ever hear that? Such a thing as being too honest and giving away all of the information that is in your mind. I want to relate a story that my father told me, or told my sister, because my sister would just go out and tell all her friends everything that she'd heard in the house. And she asked my mum one time, "What age are you, mummy?" Mummy said, "I'm 96. And the next thing she heard was from one of the neighbours, "Your daughter is going around telling everybody that you're 96 years old." So Aileen got brought in, my wee sister, and she got told, "Aileen, everything you hear in the house is not to be told to everybody in the streets, no matter how much it kills you to keep it in. Keep it to yourself." But you would genuinely think, in this case, if God Almighty was going to come as a little child into this world, people would want to meet him. But do you know, of all the people that should have been there, there should have been kings from far and wide there. It should have been all of the scribes and the Pharisees there. But it wasn't. There was a handful of shepherds whenever he was born. And a couple of years later, a handful of wise men and their caravan. Can you imagine what the parking was like outside of Joseph and Mary's house that day? It'd be like the president coming with all his big black vans. But he turns up. And Herod finds out he's going to be born in Bethlehem, he's going to be born of a virgin, he's going to come out of Egypt. All of these things, he's going to be a Nazarene. And they rejoice. And they praise God. And they give him the gifts. And they hear about all of the things that the Lord has done. Do you remember when the Lord spoke to Mary and said, "You're going to have a child"? About 3 years previous. Do you remember when he spoke to Joseph whenever Joseph was going to say, "Look, I love this woman, but I found out that she's pregnant. I'm not going to marry her. I'm not going to make a big fuss out of her because she could have been stoned to death. I'm just going to put her away quietly on the QT." And even when he was thinking on these things, the Lord spoke to Joseph and says, "Regardless of what's going on with Mary, this is my doing. She is bearing the Savior. You make sure and marry her." And the Bible records that they never had any relations until she had the young child. She had baby Jesus. The baby Jesus. So they got to hear about that. And they got to hear about whenever they went into the temple. Because they had to do stuff. They had to offer sacrifices for having babies in the temple. And they got to hear how Simeon came and talked about how he was set for the rising up and the fall of many. They got to hear about whenever Mary went to visit Elizabeth, her cousin, who was bearing John the Baptist in her old age. About how Elizabeth's child leapt in her womb and how she worshipped and praised. And she got to hear about how her husband, what was it, Zacharias, was dumb for like 8 months. Couldn't speak. And as soon as he made the motions that, "No, the baby's not to be called Zacharias after me, the baby's to be called John," he could speak again and he could worship God. Got to hear about all of those things. About the shepherds. About the angels worshipping and praising God and talking about how the goodwill of God was being given to the earth and how God was endeavouring not to bring peace between men and men, but between God and man. If everyone had peace between God and man, pretty much everyone would have peace with each other too, but it has to come from God first. And they got an education. This wasn't just a flash in the pan. This was God Almighty, and all the things that he had organized in the Word of God had come together to make this happen. And so after they chatted and given these gifts are interesting, gold and frankincense and myrrh, we'll come to that in a minute, went to bed. And even that night, the Lord spoke to the wise men, told them, "You need to go home, and you need to go home another way, and you need to go home now." And he said to Mary and Joseph, "You need to get out of here, because Herod is going to kill them. He'll probably kill the baby, and he might even kill you into the bargain. Because he's bonkers, don't you? And he'll do anything to secure his position. And he already knows far too much. Who knows, he might have even had someone follow this caravan of wise men." So they all cleared off. Now, just before we go too far, a lot of people think, oh, Herod was an evil man. All those little children that he killed. Bear in mind that we're doing a pretty good job of that ourselves. Millions of little children go into eternity with Christ because abortion is okay at so many levels in so many countries. We have as much blood in our hands as Herod did. God says to Joseph, run for Egypt. And he runs with presents of gold, presents of frankincense and myrrh. And he stays there until he hears Herod's died. And he's coming back again. And verse number 22. When he comes back, he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea of the root of his father Herod. He was afraid to go there. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee and came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the prophets. He should be called a Nazarene. And here's a wee thing for you to look up in the Old Testament. Get the Bible on your phone, type in the branch, because the Nazarene means the branch. In the Old Testament, God Almighty, Jesus Christ, was referred to as the branch. And that's worth finding out. That's the story of the wise men. And the greatest thing about it all is it's a desperate thing that all of those little children were killed, and I'm sure maybe one or two of the parents as well. But even as the devil and all his followers do their utmost to destroy Christians, to thwart the will of God, all they ever do is fulfill prophecy. Because Herod was that bonkers, that wacko prophecy, that he would be born in Bethlehem, that's fair enough, that he would be called out of Egypt, how did he do that? And that he would be a Nazarene. Like, he's coming out of three different parts of the world. How is that? But all that that did was show the escape route that his mom and his stepdad took as they ran for their lives and then settled in Nazareth. Now, I would like to say that there's not just these. And it doesn't even say three wise men. It just says there were three gifts. That these wise men were the only wise men. That's not the case. We have access to all the information that they have and so much more these days. Every single soul that is searching for God and as well in their lives is a wise person, whether they're man or woman. First of all, just like the wise men, make sure you're familiar with the scriptures. They were. And they were ready to bet their lives on it. And they didn't just read them, they studied, and they learned, and they asked questions, and they prayed to God about it. Second of all, make your decisions based on the scriptures, and follow God's laws and commandments, not the world's, not opinions, and not your feelings. These men were determined to follow God's decisions, God's scriptures. Base your decisions upon what the Bible says. They planned their journey based on the scriptures. They knew where they were going to. They were going to Bethlehem. And that was going to take a bit. They weren't going to Nazareth. They were going to visit the city where he was born. Things were done in the proper order. And they went on their journey. They had patience. And that's a bit of a killer for us today, because patience tends to be in very short supply. It is amazing we have patience to spend all day fishing or shooting or doing one of our hobbies or watching our favourite film, but whenever it comes to the Bible, we have no patience at all. Bible and coffee, I think it is. No patience at all. We want our teas and we want our coffee straight away. It's a killer for us, and we need to have patience. No one goes from zero to hero in a day, as far as the scripture goes. There's a lot to it. And it takes time to put everything in its place. Charlotte was telling us that she has had 12 weeks of lessons, is it, one a week? The past 3 months, I'm driving a car, because there's very few people that I know that ever sit behind the wheel of a car and know how to drive it first time ever. That just doesn't happen. You need to take a little bit of a time and learn little bits that you can build other little bits upon, and before you know it, those little bits become big bits, and at the end of 12 lessons, you can drive a car. That's the way it goes. You still have to do the exam, but you can drive the car. We need a wee bit of patience. It takes time even to learn Bible verses. Have patience, but keep going. Here's something that many of us don't take account of, that we need to protect ourselves as well. It's not just a matter of wandering through this life blindly, trusting that God will make everything turn out for the best, but there are things that we need to do as well. You cannot protect yourself from a sclerosed liver if you're out drinking all the time, so you don't go drinking. You can't protect yourself from a drug overdose if you're taking drugs, so don't take drugs. You can't protect yourself from immorality if you spend the night in a stranger's bed, when the person that you're not married to is dead. So don't do it. There's so many things that we can protect. I have about 5 or 6 years, or maybe even 7 years of karate and jiu-jitsu under my belt. And I've never had to use it once in anger. Never once. And that's, goodness, over 35 years ago. And the reason for it is that I wasn't in the places where I would have to use it. I didn't go out to pubs, I didn't stay out late and in the streets, I wasn't wandering the streets, I wasn't in wrecking other people's families, I wasn't robbing places, I wasn't killing people. I never had to use them. Protect yourself. Make sure that you are surrounded with the scriptures. Make it personal. These wise men went themselves. They didn't send their servants. Their servants came with them, but they went and did it themselves. And the gospel is very personal. The word of God is very personal. When you read a portion of scripture and it sort of jumps out at you, it's for you. Or it's for someone you know, but you have to be ready to carry that to them and be familiar with it. It's personal. Just like Jesus Christ died for each one of us in the entire world, it is up to you to go and make a point of confessing your sins, repenting of them, and asking Christ to be your Savior. You can't do it for anybody else. You can certainly lead them there. You can certainly pray with them, but it's them that have to make the decision. It's personal. So make it personal. Make it your own and live that way. The wise men brought gifts based on the scriptures. They thought about this. Whenever it came to bringing their offerings, their tithes, if you like, before God, they brought gold, which was as a recognition of Christ the King. That's a gift fit for a king. Heard it mentioned many times in the Old Testament. They brought frankincense, which was the spice, if you like, that was used in the censers in the temple. So they brought frankincense for Christ the High Priest, and he is to be our High Priest. And they brought myrrh, which was one of those burial herbs or spices that they wrapped the bodies with to take away the smell from the tombs. And these things were brought for Jesus Christ. He is our King, he is our great High Priest, and he is the great sacrifice for our sins. Already mentioned in Isaiah 53, a great chapter, well worth reading, and even committing some of those verses to memory. A great help too. Their hearts were already inclined to follow God. Before this all took place, they didn't just waken up one day and say, "Let's go to Bethlehem." That didn't happen. For years they studied. And they probably even had their ancestors studied and watched and counted the years and prepared the next generation to believe God, to follow the scriptures, to know them intimately. It wasn't an accident. It didn't just happen overnight. They inclined themselves to following and believing and honoring God. Their hard hearts were broken up. Can you imagine reading the Bible, finding a bit there that says, "Oh, that's definitely speaking about me. I'm going to have to change my ways." That's what these guys did. They followed the scriptures. They let the scriptures change them instead of changing the scriptures to suit them. We should remember that. And they praised and worshipped the Messiah. They didn't just lift them onto their knees and bounce them on their knees and head on and say, "Oh, I got to bounce the Messiah on my knee." That's not the way it happened. I can hand on heart, I can say it's not the way it happened. I'm sure they spent their time on their hands and knees. So glad to be in the presence of God Almighty, my goodness. If you had to praise the Lord or worship Him, what would you do? Turn Him up in church, there's a little bit of praise and there's a little bit of worshiping. But this here and now, get a chance to praise God and to worship Him for a little bit. But how do we praise Him and worship Him with the rest of the week? By living the way He says and obeying God. That's how we do it. By singing Christian songs instead of the worldly song. That's how you do it. We ought to remember that. And the last one I've written down here is make sure you follow through. Keep going from the start to the middle and right the way through to the end. God will see you through, and don't quit until you're done. I know there's times whenever, goodness, whenever the work has been going on, there's been days it's been hard. Sometimes it's physically hard. Sometimes you don't feel like doing it. It's spiritually or mentally hard. There's other things going on in your life, and they just suck the joy right out of you. But keep going. Follow through. God is faithful. He'll bear you up and He'll keep you going, and you will get such a kick when you get out the other side, and you will realize that you are not subject to your feelings. You're not subject to whatever the devil's tempting you with or whatever's going on. But you can obey God and you can persevere with patience right through till the end. And then, in the words of one of the songs, each victory will help you some other to gain. You can climb up on the top of that victory and achieve a greater one. Now, there was another group of people. It's mentioned in the book of Acts. Does anyone know who I'm going to refer to? The Bereans. And these people, whenever Paul and Silas were on their missionary journeys, you know what they would do? A lot of people would listen, and they would go, hey, we enjoyed that, and they would go home. These Bereans, the Bible says, were more honorable. Because every time Paul and Silas said something, they would check the scriptures to see if it was for real. And we could learn a lesson from that too. Remember, the wise men didn't just turn up. That was the tip of the spear. Them turning up in Bethlehem was the tip of the spear. Or the tip of the iceberg. There was another 90% of life and preparation and years before those things actually happened. There's a lesson to be learned from these men's preparation and how they found the Savior in their hearts many years previously, and then how they found Him face to face. Their behavior as they carried it out in person. There's lessons to be learned there for all of us, and we should. We should never come to the point in our lives where we can sit with our arms folded, our legs crossed. I'm not picking on you, Will, I'm just saying. Those are typical body language. Those are typical body language things. What is it? For defending yourself from what another person is or what they're saying. I am not open to anything that you say. Head down, never catching the eye of the preacher, never catching the eye of God in His word. We ought to never get to the position in our lives where we have arrived, where we think we have done enough, learned enough, heard enough, praised enough, worshipped enough. Never ever come there, but always be ready to learn more about Christ. You might not get anything famous done. You might not get anything that changes the world. But even if you share what Jesus did for you with somebody else, you will have done more for that person than the most accomplished surgeon in this world or than the richest banker. You'll have pointed them to the foot of the cross and eternal life. And this is what's important, that you do what God asks you to do. Everybody's heard of Peter, Simon Peter. You know, his life was a train wreck. It was like one train wreck after another. The worst of them all was when? when he denied the Lord 3 times. Remember the wee woman at the, when he was warming himself by the bar, says, "You're with those guys." He says, "No, I'm not." He says, "I'm sure you are, and you even speak like them." "No, I'm not." And he was called out again. "I saw you with them." He says, "I didn't." And he cursed and swore, and then Jesus looked over him, and Peter realized, "Yep, I just denied the Lord 3 times. Life was a train wreck. But you know what? The Lord can fix train wrecks. He can set us back on our rails, point us in the right direction, and get us going again. But even when he does that, I want to read these few verses from John 21. This is, "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following," that's John, "which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, what's this man going to do?" And Jesus said, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Do what I ask you to do. We ought to be like the wise men. And be wise women. Or wise young men. Whatever. Be wise. Be smart. So we are loving with God. I have read the last 3 chapters in the book. And guess what? We win. Amen. I'm stopping there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Sing a song. Has anybody got one? I think it's just you, Charlotte. If you've got one, great. If you don't, I'll pick one and post haste. You got a favourite? How great thou art. That's grand. Let's stand as we sing number 1 on the wee black verse. How great thou art.
How great thou art.
good time. God bless you. Safe travels home. See you back at the next appointed time. Well, if you would, Father, would you pray for us to dismiss the meeting?
Dear Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the service and the meaning of the message, Lord. Store up in the hearts and ears and our lives, Lord. And we will pass it around as the kind of message of the church bless them. Bless the listeners of this CD, Lord, that they may be truly enriched, Lord, and save their souls if they be lost, Lord, as well, Lord. And pray for us as we go home to our homes, Lord. Bless the day, Lord, and help us and bless our Sunday meal, Lord, and our families, Lord, and may they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior as well, Lord. Pray for our land, Lord, pray for the poor people in Ukraine, Lord, the refugees, people that are bereaved, and Lord, those that are suffering, Lord, you may help, Lord, and Lord, send a message to them that they may be saved, Lord, but ultimately save them from their predicament, Lord, physical, Lord, deprivations, Lord, and save them. And stop that horrible war, Lord, save souls mightily apart from it as well, Lord. We will stay, Lord, and bring us back to the house, next appointed time, and bless our service and be for life and fly away for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.